Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, where we replay some of the great old-time radio of the past. We'll bring it back for you again because it was pretty good the first time, so we'll listen to it again. This week, we have something to scare you and then something to make you laugh. We'll start with the scary stuff because that's just the way we like it. This is called Inner Sanctum and the Amazing Death of Mrs. Putnam, and we'll be back in 30 minutes with an episode of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. But right now, it's time for Raymond and the Inner Sanctum.
Hello. Hello.
Oh,
there you are. I was afraid for a moment that you had forgotten our appointment. Why, you almost scared me to death. And that won't do after all the pains I've taken to scare you. You remember me, don't you? I'm your host on behalf of the makers of Carter's Pills. And you're to be my guest tonight in the mysterious circle of the Inner Sanctum. Come in, friends, won't you? Thank you. Take that chair to the fire. Good. And you'll become accustomed to the dim light in a moment. Don't get too comfortable, because we'll have you out of that chair with frills and chills, shivers and quivers. You're on our side, aren't you? You'd better be. But don't worry. Instead of the arch criminals haunting us, we're going to haunt them. We're going to scare the daylights out of them. Yes. Welcome, then, friend. Welcome to the mysterious circle of the Inner Sanctum. And listen to as weird and strange a tale as ever was told. The amazing death of Mrs. Putnam. The night is dismal. A light shines uncertainly in the room of a large, gloomy mansion. Suddenly, a sobbing, hysterical woman slams the door shut, rushes to the telephone.
Get the police, quick. The police. Quiet, quiet, Walt. Oh, hurry, please, hurry. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Police department?
This is Mrs. Putnam. You've got to save me from them. They'll kill me.
Put that telephone down.
Help, they're going to kill me. I'm being murdered.
Where are you?
Oh, they're
are
killing
you?
Me. Help.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello, operator. This is Jeff Hansen, police headquarters. Trace the call that just came through to us. Hurry.
That's funny, Jeff.
Did you hear what I heard, Porky?
I sure did, unless we're both having the same dream.
Hold it, Porky. Yes? Yes, operator. Hanson, Jeff Hanson. You have? That's swell. Write this down, Porky.
Yes, sure.
Yes? The Putnam House, Maple Street. Thank you very much.
The Putnam House?
Yeah.
Say, that's the first time in centuries we've heard that name in a police department.
Come on, Porky. Someone in that house is in great danger. We've got to get there and quickly. Put your foot all the way down on the gas.
Oh, what's all the excitement, Jeff? It's just another murder case or something. We get them wholesale.
Maybe you're right, Porky.
You're too jumpy lately, Jeff. What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing. Just on edge.
You ought to get married. Then you'd have so many other troubles, you wouldn't have time to think of yourself. You know, everybody should get married. At least once.
Especially you, Porky.
Well, I'd get married tomorrow if I knew a girl who'd love me for myself alone.
Keep your eyes on the road, Miss Advice to the Lovelorn.
All right, all right. I forgive you for the crack. Now, look, Jeff. You and me is a great detective. Only you can solve everything but the mysteries of the heart. So what does nature do? Nature endows me with the wisdom which you ain't got in that department. Ain't nature wonderful? Sending me to straighten out your amours? Now, first of all, you gotta learn to treat love lightly.
This is Maple Street, Porky.
Oh, okay. I'll take up the lessons in love where I left off later.
Pull up, Miss Lovelaw, and here we are. Let's go.
All right, Jeff. Ah, it's a pretty old house. Ain't exactly a haunted place, but a ghost could feel at home here.
No, Miss Silly, this house is fairly modern. What are you muttering about?
I'm counting the stairs. Didn't you teach me to observe everything? Seven.
Now remember, keep your eyes open and your mouth shut.
You know how reliable I am, Jeff.
Yeah, I do.
Yes?
We're from police headquarters.
One moment, please. You can't come in like that.
It's all right, Williamson.
Yes, Miss Lewis.
Come in, please.
Thank you, miss. My name is Jeff Hansen. This is Ed Lamb, better known as Porky.
I'm Lois Putnam.
How you doing, Miss Putnam?
Did you say you were from police headquarters?
Yes.
That's odd. How did you find out so soon?
We had a telephone call.
From whom?
It was a woman. I believe she said her name was Putnam.
What? Oh, no. When did you get this call?
Only a few minutes ago. The woman screamed that she was being murdered. She cried out for help.
Oh, no, no. What in heaven's name are you talking about? My aunt is dead.
Dead?
Yes. She died 2 hours ago.
Her name was Mrs. Putnam?
Yes, Martha Putnam.
You say your aunt died 2 hours ago?
Yes.
But we received a phone call for help only 20 minutes ago.
Oh, that's impossible. Are you sure the call came from here?
It was traced to your number. Besides, I believe the woman said her name was Mrs. Putnam. Isn't that right, Porky?
It sounded like it.
This is some idiot's idea of humor. The poor woman has been dead more than 2 hours.
Lois, you should rest. You haven't closed your eyes.
I will, Doctor. These men are from police headquarters.
Oh?
This is Dr. Holloway.
Doctor?
Detective Hansen, did you say?
Jeff Hansen. This is Ed Lamb.
Hi, Doc.
Were the police informed of your aunt's death, Lois?
They traced a strange phone call back to this house, Doctor. Somebody screamed for help.
From this house?
Yes.
Then why didn't we hear it?
Perhaps we made a mistake. However, we're forced to sort of look around. Please forgive us, Miss Putnam.
Do whatever you like.
Thank you.
Well, perhaps you'd better lie down, Lois.
I'll be all right.
Borgie, I want you to make a thorough search of the house and don't let anything go unnoted.
You betcha.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes. Be back in a moment, though. What is it?
If you don't mind, Doctor, I'd...
Do you wish to ask me questions?
Please.
But all right.
What caused Mrs. Putnam's death?
The causes of her death were quite natural. A blood clot lodged itself in the veins of her heart. You may have heard it called coronary thrombosis.
How many members are there in the family?
Well, there's Lois and Mrs. Putnam's brother. He's very ill, and his sight is failing.
Is there anyone else?
Yes, there's Joel Adams, the gardener. He lives in the back of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
He and the butler have been with Mrs. Putnam for years.
Mm. Oh, would you mind, Doctor, if I looked at Mrs. Putnam?
If you wish, just follow me. A fascinating mystery, friend? A strange telephone call late at night. A woman screams for help, a dog barks, 2 shots ring out, and then the police dash to the house and find that the woman died of natural causes 2 hours earlier. Riddle me that, my friend. Oh, have no fear, for the day of ghost-like voices from the dead and the day of superstition is past. Or is it? We shall see. We shall see. This way, Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. Why do you keep this door locked?
Oh, simply to avoid any scenes. They're all so high-strung.
Oh. What's the matter with your hand, Doctor?
You mean this bandage?
Hurt yourself?
Well, just clumsiness. While cutting some gauze, I slipped my hand. It bled rather profusely.
I'm sorry for all this inconvenience, but in my business, it's wiser to check on everything.
I understand. You wish to examine the body more thoroughly?
No. No, I don't think so. She looks rather natural for a corpse.
Here we go.
Yes.
May I see the butler now?
Yes, this Tuttle will bring him in just a few moments.
After I see him, I'd like to talk to the others, too.
Oh, you'll be tactful with Lois, won't you? She's quite broken up. She was attached to the old lady.
Of course.
Did you ring for me, Dr. Holloway?
Yes, Williamson. Detective Hanson wishes to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll take a look at Lois.
Quite all right, Doctor.
Excuse me.
Your name is Williamson, I gathered.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been working for Mrs. Putnam?
32 years.
Long time, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
By the way, did you hear any odd noises or screaming this evening?
No, sir.
You did hear two shots, though, didn't you?
No, sir.
You're not frightened, are you, Williamson?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. This house isn't what it seems on the outside.
Oh?
No, it's full of hatred. Everyone hated Mrs. Putnam, and she hated all of us. The Lord found vengeance. She didn't deserve to live. There wasn't a kind thought in her head.
Who killed her?
The devil took her.
Who fired those two shots?
Lightning struck twice.
Where is the dog?
In Hades with his mistress.
Ugh. Don't think you're fooling me, Williamson, by avoiding my questions. Take me to Mr. Putnam's room.
Yes, sir. It's right here. He's very ill, though. Shall I knock?
No. No, you may go.
Yes, sir.
Who is it?
I'm sorry to intrude. Are you Mr. Putnam?
Who are you?
Detective Hanson, police headquarters.
Oh, the police, eh? What are you doing in my house?
I thought the house belonged to your sister.
It belongs to me now. What business is it of yours? Who else would she leave everything to?
Mr. Putnam, did anything unusual happen to your sister earlier this evening? I mean, has she been ill?
Cat was never ill in her life.
Would there be any reason for anyone murdering her?
Murder? I don't know. Maybe. She's hurt each and every one of us. She ruined Lois' life by sending her fiancé away many years ago. She made me into the wreck I am with her cruel tongue and her devilish disposition. She was responsible for the death of the gardener's wife long ago. Hasn't done a kind thing in her life. If she's been murdered, then I say good riddance.
Is it possible that all of you had given her cause to treat you that way?
Don't you dare say that. You stupid, foolish maniac. You didn't know her. How dare you? Get out of my room. Get out of my house. Get out of my...
I'm sorry, Mr. Putnam. I didn't mean to upset you. I'll go now.
Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yes, Porky?
Hey, I've been looking for you.
Yes?
Yeah, I've been all over the house. I checked on everything. 15 rooms, 19 windows, 8 beds, 3 fireplaces, and 3 bathrooms.
And nothing looks suspicious?
No. You think maybe there is some mistake, Jeff?
I don't know. A phone call being placed here is absolute. They never make a mistake. But her voice and her death almost 2 hours before we got the call makes it strange. I must confess I'm stumped.
Did you talk to everyone?
I'd like to talk to the gardener. But right now, we'll pretend that everything's all right. We made a mistake. We'll drive away and then come back later.
You mean you really ain't thoroughly convinced?
That's right, Porky. I've got a hunch that we're up against a case that's stranger than any we've ever known or heard of. Get in the car, Porky, and don't look back.
Right, Jeff.
I don't want them to think that we're even slightly suspicious. They may be watching us from the window. Throw on your lights and get the car started.
Yep.
Porky.
Watch it.
Don't move. Just look over there.
Where?
Right straight in the beam of the light.
Well, I don't... What do you mean?
In the garden. That mound of earth.
It looks kind of fresh.
Right.
Holy Mazuma. You think maybe somebody's buried under there?
We'll soon find out. Drive the car down a few blocks. We'll come back on foot and very quietly.
Jump a catfish, Jeff.
So loud, Porky. Don't hit the rock. Just loosen it.
How much deeper are we going to dig, Jeff?
The earth is still soft. We haven't reached what we're after.
What are we after?
We'll know soon enough.
You think the old lady might be buried here and the body in the house of somebody else?
I don't know.
Hey, Jeff.
Huh?
Jeff, I hit something firm with my shovel. Feels like a body.
All right. Don't use the shovel anymore. We'll dig with our hands. Porky, you're right. It is a body.
Yeah, it feels like it's wrapped up in a rug of some kind.
All right. Get a grip on it.
We'll pull it up. Okay.
Let's go.
It's
the dog.
The dog. We heard barking on the phone.
Then there were shots, and that woman's voice did come from this house. They killed the dog and the woman, too.
Ah, are you completely mystified? Wondering about the strange death of Mrs. Putnam? And what will happen next?
Well, there's no need to be frightened. We know how old-fashioned it is to stop like this suddenly and leave you in mid-air wondering about the outcome of the story. Oh, are you in mid-air?
Good.
Good. But we assure you everything will come out all right. We won't let you down. And this is as good a time as any to remind you of someone else who won't let you down. The makers of Carter's Little Liver Pills. When you don't feel good, try Carter's Little Liver Pills. They do the work of calomel, but have no calomel in them. For they are simple pills made of vegetable drugs. They wake up the flow of one of our most vital digestive juices. When this vital juice flows at the rate of 2 pints a day, it helps to digest our food and bring back the glorious feeling that goes with regularity. Then most folks feel like happy days are here again. But be sure you get the genuine Carter's Little Liver Pills. Now let's solve tonight's inner sanctum mystery. Where were we? Oh, yes. Jeff and Porky had just unearthed the body of a dog.
The dog we heard barking on the phone.
Then there were shots, and that woman's voice did come from this house. They killed the dog and the woman, too.
Oh, I just swallowed a lump that had nails on it, Jeff.
Walk it down.
Hey, what's the idea? Throw me right into...
Shh. Someone came to the window.
Yeah, but you didn't have to throw me right into the grave.
Sorry. Here, I'll help you out. They've left the window. Now, look, you stay here, Porky. I'm going in to talk to the gardener. You watch the house. I'll be right back.
Hey, you ain't gonna leave me here with this dead dog, are you?
Shh, quiet.
What do you want?
I'm from police headquarters. You better let me in.
What do you want?
I want some information about that dog that was buried in your garden.
You're crazy.
Who buried it there?
There's no dog in my garden.
Was there a dog in the house?
I don't know.
You'd better answer my questions, Mr. Adams, unless you prefer going to jail.
I don't know anything.
Who killed Mrs. Putnam?
Everybody. Everybody hated her.
What do you mean by that?
Everyone in that house wanted her to die. Her brother cursed her. Williamson might have poisoned her.
What about you?
Me? I didn't hate her anymore. He promised to leave all her money to me.
Oh? Why?
Well, it was her only sign of repentance.
Why, no other reason?
None that might be your business.
Did you hear any shots from the house this evening?
I was away.
Jeff! Jeff!
What is it, Porky?
Hey, come quick, Jeff!
What's happened?
I had a brainstorm. Hurry, Jeff, hurry, come on.
You'd better not leave your house, Mr. Adams.
I'll be here.
What's up, Porky?
The windows.
Huh?
While I'm out here watching the house, I casually count everything. The stairs again. I count the colored bricks and the large bricks, and then I count the windows. Count them, Jeff.
What are you driving at?
Count them, count them. Come on, walk around the house.
Huh?
Count them.
2, 4, 8, 10, 14, 17, 19, 20. 20 windows. Great galloping ghost. 20 windows on the outside, and you said you counted...
19 on the inside.
That means that there's one window camouflaged on the inside. There must be a room within a room. Come on, Porky. We're going back inside that house. Only this time, uninvited and unseen.
think maybe the room is up around here, Jeff?
Just keep trying, Porky. Run your fingers over every inch of wall and furniture.
Yeah.
You got something?
Oh, I tell you. I get a splinter in my finger. Why did I ever...
Shh, quiet, Porky. I think I've got it.
No kidding?
Sit over here. Have your gun ready? There's a little knob here in back of the bookcase. I think it will swing the bookcase open and lead us into another room. Here goes. Look out, Porky! Oh,
you've come to kill me, but I'll kill you first. I'll kill you if you come near me.
We haven't come to kill anyone. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Putnam.
What? Mrs. Putnam? Jeff, there's the ghost we needed to top off everything.
Hey, light a match, Porky.
Oh, there's a candle over there, Jeff.
All right, light it and bring it over here.
Okay.
How do we know that you're telling the truth, that you are Mrs. Putnam?
Heaven knows I am, but I wish I was someone else. I've gone through so much.
If you are Mrs. Putnam, then who is the dead woman downstairs?
The dead woman?
Yes.
She's my cook. She took suddenly ill and died earlier this evening.
Your cook?
I can prove to you that I'm Mrs. Putnam.
How?
My signature. I signed a new will tonight. They forced me to will everything to them. Oh, you must believe me.
We'll check on that. Was there any shooting in the house this evening?
Yes, yes. They shot my dog while the poor creature was trying to protect me. I called the police to help me. I thought they meant to kill me, but instead they brought me up here to face a living death.
We're the police. If you are Mrs. Putnam, then we're here to help you.
Thank heaven. You don't know how they tortured me to make me write a new will.
You say the new will leaves everything
yes,
to them?
Yes.
In that event, it will be a simple matter to trap them and for you to prove yourself. Have you got the old will?
No, they destroyed it.
Well, it doesn't matter. You'll tell me the contents of the old will. They'll give themselves away when they hear it read. And now, Mrs. Putnam, about those who tortured you. Who are they? I'm grateful to all of you for not objecting to my presence at the reading of this will.
Well, having you here, Detective Hanson, is best for all of us. We're really obliged to you for your kindness.
Thank you, Miss Putnam. And now, if all of you don't mind, Dr. Holloway, Mr. Putnam, Williamson, Adams, I'll be brief. Oh, Porky, wheel Mr. Putnam's chair a little closer.
Right, Jeff.
I had the courts appoint me to see that this will is made valid and legal. Now, this is it. I, Martha Putnam, being of sound mind and body, do hereby bequeath my entire fortune and all my worldly goods to Joel Adams,
no.
My partner.
Oh, no, you've made a mistake.
Careful, Lois.
What did you say, Miss Putnam?
That isn't my aunt's last will.
Lois.
No, I must confess, Miss Putnam, that isn't in your aunt's last will.
Then what do you mean by reading that? My aunt left everything to me.
Please, Lois.
You're right, Lois, I did. In the will you forced me to sign.
Mrs. Putnam. Don't move, Doctor.
Yes, Lois, I signed a will leaving everything to you, that's true. But only because you and your darling doctor forced me to. Oh, I never dreamed that my own flesh and blood would be that selfish.
Just a moment, Mrs. Putnam. The conspiracy to spirit you away and bury the cook in your place was entirely my idea. Don't blame Lois.
It was a clever plot, my friends, and it might have worked, but fortunately you made mistakes. By the way, Doctor, does that bandage on your hand cover a nasty bite you got while doing away with the dog?
Yes, it does. I confess to everything, Mr. Hanson, but Mrs. Putnam is as much to blame as anyone. Everyone who ever lived in this house hated her. With all the money you had, Mrs. Putnam, you never did one decent thing in your whole life. You distrusted everybody and hurt everybody. And so we plotted to get you out of the way. Fate was kind enough to provide us with your cook as the means. With your money, we could have gotten something out of life.
You'll get life now, all right, without her money.
You can relax now, friend. This story is over. But still another plot is being formed for our next session in the inner sanctum.
Are we scared?
Sure. But what of it? Isn't the villain a great deal more frightened than we? But thanks to clever sleuthing, everything will be solved. And there's one more mystery we may be able to solve for you quite easily. When you don't feel good, when you're low and irritable and the whole world looks black and uninviting, try Carter's Little Liverpool. Don't give in to that depressed feeling that bogs you down. Go to your nearest drugstore right now and ask for genuine Carter's Little Liverpools. Regular size, 25 cents.
There now. We've closed the door to the inner sanctum for another week. Time to go. But spread the news to all arch criminals that we shall ride again in their pursuit next week. This is no laughing matter for them, my friend, so take your tongue out of your cheek. That's better. Remember, we'll expect you next week at this same time in the mysterious circle of the inner sanctum. By the way, you like good mystery stories, so be sure to read this month's Inner Sanctum mystery, The Case of the Solid Key, by Anthony Boucher. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From January 7th of 1941, that's The Amazing Death of Mrs. Putnam, an episode of Inner Sanctum. Now for the comedy we mentioned at the beginning of the program. It's the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. We'll hear from Phil and Frankie, and Alice probably singing a song too, so it's all pretty good. Coming up right now from May 1 of 1949, this is called Spring House Cleaning.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. For the past few days, the Harris home has been under the annual siege of spring cleaning. Over Alice's protests, Phil has insisted on helping her. And as we look in, he is about to hang a picture over the fireplace.
Phil, I wish you'd let me do that. You're not very handy.
Please. Just hold the chair steady while I get up. There. Now, where do you want this nail?
Right over the fireplace. And, Phil, please be careful.
Honey, I know how to hammer a nail. Ooh! Ouch! Oh, oh, wow. Oh, I hit my thumb.
Phil, how can you be so clumsy?
Stop laughing and look for my thumb. Oh, it must be on the floor someplace.
Oh, it's still on your hand. Does it hurt much?
Oh, honey, you never know how much I'm suffering. Oh, look at that little thumb. Oh, honey, I won't be able to use this finger. Oh, gee, I'm going to have to call off today's band rehearsal.
Why?
This is the thumb I deal the cards with. Oh, honey, this pain is excruciating. Ooh, wait till I come down off this chair and show you.
Phil, look out. You caught your foot in the...
Ooh! Oh, this time I really did it.
Oh, for goodness sakes, what did you hurt now?
What I sit on when I deal the cards with a thumb I ain't got. Oh, honey, I can't get up.
Are you hurt, Daddy?
Am I hurt? Here I lie mortally wounded, and she asks me if I'm hurt. Oh, that poor little clumsy wumsy. Oh, I'm afraid to look at it. Phyllis, you look at it and tell me how it is.
It's only a scratch, Daddy. It's just bleeding a little.
Bleeding? I knew it. Oh, Alice, is it bleeding much?
Oh, yes. There must be at least 3 or 4 drops gushing out. Girls, this is too gory for you. You'd better leave the room.
Let them stay. I may need them for a transfusion.
Phil, will you please cut it out? You're all right. Look, it stopped bleeding.
It stopped? Oh, no. Now I ran out of blood.
You just lie there and let it congeal. I'll put up the nail myself.
No, you don't. I started this, and as weak as I am, I'll finish it. Pass me the hammer.
Uh-oh, here we go again.
Phil, I wish you wouldn't. You'll only ruin your thumb completely.
I'll show you I can do it right. Now watch this. Oh, no. Oh, Alice, I must have hit my hand. Look at my bones. They're falling all over the floor.
That's plaster. You knocked a hole in the wall.
All right, honey, don't get upset. We can cover the hole up with something.
With what?
Daddy has a moose head.
Alice, that's no way to talk about your father.
She didn't mean it. Look, kids, you better run along. Look, Alice, I got some plaster in the garage. I'll get it.
No. You stay right where you are. I'll get someone else to do it.
Alice, I am capable of plastering up a hole in the wall. You don't let me do nothing around here. You think I'm a jerk, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Well, I don't.
Well,
don't give up, Philip. I'm on your side.
I better cover up that hole in the wall fast. Things are starting to come out of it.
Alice, how did you get that hole in your wall?
Phil was hanging a picture and he missed the nail.
Oh, Philip, how stupid can you be?
I suppose you could do better, Poodles.
Well, I'll show you. There's nothing to driving a nail into the wall. It's just a question of using my head.
Oh, this I'm going to want to see. Got to see this. Look, I'll hold the nail. You put your head down and get a running start. That flat top of yours you can't miss.
Never mind, fellas. I don't want any more nail holes in the wall. All I need is a plasterer.
Why, Alice, I can plaster the hole for you. I'm very handy, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm always fixing little things around the house.
Well, bless your nimble little mm-hmm finger.
If you have some plaster, Alice, I'll get started.
Oh, thanks, Willie. You'll find some out in the garage.
I'll go get it. Philip, if you care to, you may watch me. You might learn something, you know.
I gotta do something about that boy. Say, Alice, when he plasters that hole up, couldn't he work from the inside of the wall?
Phil. Phil, you just resent the fact that Willie's more handy than you.
Well, it's a fine state of affairs when a woman thinks more of her brother than she does of her husband.
Oh, Phil, don't be silly. I don't...
Please. Say no more. Don't try to make up to me. To think I've given her the best years of my life. And years don't come no better than that. I shall sleep at the club tonight.
But I... All right, go sleep at your club.
That I will. Goodbye. If you want me, you'll find me at... Wait a minute, I don't belong to no club. Alice.
What now?
Can I borrow your membership card to the YWCA?
Don't just stand there, Phil. If you're going, go.
Well, look, before I go, don't you want to hear me sing for the last time?
If you want to.
Okay. What song would you like to hear me sing?
Well, you know, the one you do so well. The one that goes...
corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. I am in a conventional dither with a conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and gay as the daisy in May cliché coming true. I'm bulimic and bright as the moon, happy night pouring light on the dew.
She's as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July.
If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
She's as trite and as gay as a daisy in May, a cliche coming through.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as the flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
Oh, I really sang that one, didn't I? Is there anything else you'd like to hear me listen to?
Oh, are you still here? I thought you were leaving.
Ah, I changed my mind, honey. Hey, gee, Alice, I'm sorry I lost my temper. Let's kiss and make up.
I don't want to.
Ah. Ah, come here, you beautiful dove, you. How could two pretty things like us stay mad at each other? Hey, pucker up, baby, and I'll slip you that Harris special.
Hey, why don't somebody answer the door, for crying out loud? Hey, lovebird. Hey, break it up.
Oh, I didn't hear you come in, Frankie.
What brought on this revolting exhibition?
Phil knocked a hole in the wall, and he's trying to make up to me, but it isn't working.
Oh.
Now, look, Phil, I have to go over to Mother's for a few minutes, and while I'm gone, I want you to clean up that mess you made around the fireplace.
Yes, dear.
And while you're at it, clean out the inside of the fireplace, too.
Yes, dear.
Don't forget, I just had the rug shampooed, so don't get any dirt on it.
No, dear.
That's telling her, dear.
Oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to get down on my hands and knees and clean this mess up.
You know, Curly, I hate to see you in this condition.
What condition?
Abject, beaten, pathetic, sniveling. In short, a married man. I told you shouldn't have gotten married.
There's nothing wrong with being married once you get over the first shock. You know, Remley, you ought to get married.
I wouldn't like it.
Don't knock it until you tried it. Once you get used to marriage, you can't do without it.
That's the trouble. It's habit forming.
I know, but it's better than biting your nails. Well, look, I got to get inside the fireplace and clear out this... Uh-oh.
What's the matter now?
Hey, Remley, I just looked up this chimney. Man, it's thick with soot.
Yeah?
Should be cleaned out. You know somebody... Hey, if I were to do it, Alice wouldn't be mad at me. I'll do it. And Remley, I'm going to allow you to help me.
Oh, thank you, Maestro, for this golden opportunity. Just think, a chance to clean out a dirty chimney.
Francis, you sound like you don't want to help me.
Your hearing is excellent.
Look, Remley, will you stop? It'll be a cinch. Now, come on, I'll get a long-handled broom. We'll go up on the roof and start cleaning out the chimney. Come on. Ooh. Hey, Frankie, this is tough work.
You said it. Must be an easier way than cleaning the stuff out with a broom. Hey, I got an idea, Curly. If you dropped a heavy object down the chimney, It would scrape the soot off the sides as it went down.
Yeah, but where can I find a heavy object that would fit into the... into the...
Stop measuring me. I wouldn't fit.
Yeah. You know, I guess we need a skinny object to drop
Philip,
down there.
What are you doing up on the roof?
Remley, I hear a skinny object calling. You think he'd fit?
Let's try him for size.
Okay. Hey, Willie, would you mind coming up here for a fitting?
Hey, he might be a little too skinny. He may not hit all four sides as he goes down.
So what? We can always drop him a few times.
True.
Hey, this is going to be fun, Remley. I can't... No.
What?
No, no. Remley, we can't make a swab out of Willie.
What did you fellows call me for?
Oh, look, William, we're trying to clean this chimney for Alice, and we don't know how to go about it.
Well, let me look down and see. Oh, Philip, it's easy. There's a ledge halfway down. All you have to do is get down there, stand on the ledge, and clean it.
Well, but it's impossible to get down to that ledge, Willie.
Oh, it is not. I'll show you. Now, if you and Francis will take hold of my arms and lower me, I'll just prove it can be done.
Curly, he's asking for it.
In that case, who are we to turn him down?
Come on, lower me.
Okay, hey, Remley.
Yeah?
Now, you grab his right arm, I'll take his left.
Right.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Now, just lower him gently.
All right.
That's it. Just easy.
Now, you see, there's really nothing to it. Now, I can't quite reach the ledge. You'll have to let me down just a little lower.
He wants to go lower.
Lower, huh?
Lower.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's lower him.
Right.
One, two, three, let go.
Help!
Is that low enough, Willie?
You dropped me.
Hey, Curly, he scraped off one side pretty good.
Yeah. About three more drops ought to do the job, huh?
Fellows, get me out of here. My coat is caught on something.
Now, how do you like that? He only went halfway down. Of all the clumsy guys.
Yeah. I can't stand people who don't finish what they start.
Well, it didn't work, Remley, but it taught me a lesson.
Yeah?
You can't clean the chimney with your brother-in-law.
I'm tired of cleaning chimneys anyway. Let's go to the ball game.
Yeah, they got a doubleheader today.
Wait, how about Willie?
He don't like baseball.
Philip, if you don't get me out of here immediately, I'll tell Alice.
All right, I'll get you out. Come on, Remley, let's go down and see if we can't pull him out from the fireplace.
All right. You know, Curly, I feel sorry for poor Willie. Wish I had my guitar. I'd play him a little tune to keep his morale up.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Hey, maybe I could sing to him.
Yeah,
oh,
sing.
Oh, dear.
He's carrying on, ain't he?
Yeah.
Why don't you sing that song you do so well at square dances?
Which one?
You know, the one that goes... Now Silas Lee from Tennessee got a call from an agency to furnish music for a swell affair. He played a while and came a lull, and Silas found the party dull. He then got up and loudly did declare, "Look here, you folks ain't having fun. I'd like to show you how it's done way back in them there hills of Tennessee. We'll do a square dance, one and all. You folks get set to hit the ball, and I'll give out with Mountain Melody." Go and call the neighbors in to have some fun. It ain't no sin. The music's ready to begin, so listen to the fiddler play. Take that carpet off the floor. Leave your shoes outside the door. Come on, do your dance and chore. Everybody dance. The guests were taken by surprise as Silas opened up their eyes with music they had never heard before. He said, "This dance is new to you. I'll call the set, you follow through. So choose your partners, get out on the floor. Hey, you down there with the fancy socks, grab that gal with all them rocks. Hit the floor and rattle your hocks, listen to the fiddler play. Round and round and let her go, sashay left and do-si-do. Circle back and hold that rope, everybody dance." Then Mrs. Stuyvesant McGee latched on to Senator McCree and started pigeon-winging round and round. The Count and Countess de Laval were promenading across the hall, and society was hoeing down. Circle left, circle right. Keep your hardware out of sight. Ain't no time to start a fight. Everybody dance. Then Silas really set a pace. And now in every swanky place, no more the modern dances will you see. For since they got so many thrills, the dance that came down from the hills is now the craze of high society. Yes, from Hollywood to Boston, Mass, throughout the land, the upper class are choosing partners for a jamboree. And now at every swell affair, who's calling sets and fiddling there? No one but Silas Lee from Tennessee.
What a sneaky way to get a song in.
If Alice can do it to me, I can do it to you.
Fellows, get me out of
here. Oh, yeah, yeah. I almost forgot about him. Hey, Remley, we better get him out.
Yeah.
Look, let's get in the fireplace here and see if we can reach him this way.
He's a little too high up.
I'd give you a boost, but you wouldn't fit in there.
No.
You know what we need is somebody smaller, somebody that we can shove up there and...
Hey, Mr. Harris, I'll bring the groceries.
Oh, this is too good to be true. Everybody's coming in right on schedule.
Hey, Julius, we need you. We're here in the fireplace.
Well, that's a natural place for a couple of clinkers. This ain't the first time you guys made ashes of yourselves. What are you doing in the fireplace?
We're trying to reach Willie.
Where's he?
In the chimney.
Oh, I gotta get another delivery route. This one could unhinge my little mind. This may seem like a stupid question, but how did he get in the chimney?
Frankie and me dropped him in there.
You did? Fellas, I'm hurt.
Hurt? Why?
This is the type of torture you usually reserve for me.
Oh, well, we're sorry, Julius, but we couldn't wait for you. See, Willie was handy,
never
so...
Never mind the excuses. I know when a honeymoon is over. You've thrown me aside for somebody you hate more.
Oh, stop nagging. Come in here and help us. We want to give you a boost up the chimney so you can reach Willie and pull him down.
Oh, all you want to do is shove me up the chimney so I can grab Mr. Fay's legs and pull him down on top of me?
That's all? Will you do it?
What do you think? I'm slapping the head or something?
Julius, please help me. If you do, I'll tell Miss Fay and she'll reward you.
Well, all right, I'll do it for Miss Fay's sake. Go ahead, give me a boost, Mr. Harris.
Okay, come on now, Frankie, help me.
All right.
Easy with him now.
All right, push him up.
That's it. Can you reach him, Julius?
Yeah, I got his feet. It's all sunny in here.
Never mind that. Pull on his legs.
Okay. Uh-oh. Fellas, this guy is awful loose-jointed. One of his feet just came off.
Julius, I'm almost loose. Pull just a little harder.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Julius. You finally got me out.
Oh, brother, what a mess we are.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. We're all covered with soot. All right, funny man, what are you laughing at?
You guys look like three pieces of burnt toast.
Get out, beat it out of here, grocery boy.
Oh, I'm just soot all over. I'm going upstairs to wash.
Oh, Philip, you will rue this day. Wait till I tell Alice.
Go ahead, tell her. Go on, tell her already. Tell Alice, I'll tell her. You can't scare me. Come on,
Frankie. Let's clean up around the fireplace before Alice sees it. Got him out anyway.
Hey, Curly.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a beige rug in this room?
Yeah, beige.
While we were in the fireplace, Alice must have changed it. Got a nice black one now.
Oh, black. Oh, look at that soot all over a nice clean rug. If Alice ever sees this, she'll...
Uh-oh.
Hey, Alice is back. Come on, Remley, fast.
Yeah.
We got to keep Alice out of the living room.
Well, how are we going to explain this soot on
I'll
us?
I'll think of something. Shut that door.
Phil, where are you? Ah, help, Phil! Wait, there are two strange coal miners in the house.
Alice, it's only me and Frankie.
Well, what are you doing now? What are you made up for?
Well, we were,
You look like two end men in a minstrel show.
That's it. That's it, honey. We're rehearsing an act we're going to do for a minstrel show. Mr. Bones.
Well, what is it, Mr. Interlocutor?
Now, you know all about wine making. How do you make an Italian wine?
You kick him in the shin.
Say, Mr. Bones, what did the mayonnaise say to the man who opened the icebox?
I don't know. What did the mayonnaise say to the man who opened the icebox?
Close that door, I'm dressing. No, it isn't, honey. We got two more pages to do.
I don't care how much more you have to go. I'm not. I'm going in the living room.
But, honey, don't you want to hear us?
I wouldn't want to hear you two if you were the ink spots.
If I didn't care.
What would happen to you if you didn't care?
Never mind.
Would I feel this way?
Well, I don't know. Why, where's you feeling, boy?
If I didn't care.
You said that before. You was in a rut. So.
More than words can say.
Hello.
Hush up, girl. He done got more words to do here.
Please stop.
Bill,
that isn't makeup you've got on. It's soot. Where did you get that soot on you?
The soot? This is the soot I bought for Easter Sunday.
Oh, have we gone back to that minstrel routine?
No, I just ad-lib a little bit to keep away from seeing that new beige rug. We got
rug.
My rug? What did you...
Alice, don't
get
go in there.
My way.
Alice, don't go in there.
Don't.
Hey, we better beat it, Frankie.
Where we go?
Well, Mr. Bones, has the French Foreign Legion ever had a minstrel act?
No, they haven't.
Well, saddle your camel, boy. They're going to see one now.
Alice, Phil, and Frankie will be back in just a moment. But right now, our Rexall family druggist is waiting on a customer.
All right, here we are. Anything else now?
Better put in a tube of that salve my husband uses. He squeezed the one he has now with everything short of a steamroller.
Well, he can't possibly be as rough on it as Rexall scientists are.
Why? How's that?
Well, a tube that contains a drug product has to be made of extra strong yet flexible material. It's got to be able to take bending and rolling and squeezing without cracking open. But even the right material from that standpoint will sometimes cause a chemical change in the product. When that happens, Rexall's men of science must find a suitable liner.
A what?
A liner. A thin coating inside the tube that keeps the product from touching it. Then to make sure that all three will stand up under all unusual and usual conditions, the tube, liner, and product are exposed to heat. clear up to the melting point of the product in some cases, and often as long as 3 months at a time.
Well, I never.
Yes, it's a pretty good feeling when you stop to think that even the containers of Rexall's 2,000 or more drug products get the same kind of careful testing as the products themselves. No wonder some 10,000 independent druggists have put the orange and blue Rexall sign on their windows. And no wonder we tell you, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Well, how are you fellas doing with the rug?
We'll be finished soon, honey.
Oh, I hope so. It's hard work, Curly.
I know, but we dirtied the rug, and Alice said we got to shampoo it.
That's starting to look good. This stuff makes a nice, thick lather.
Yeah. That Fitch Dandruff Remover shampoo is great. Hey, just look at them nice, creamy suds. Oh, boy, you think Alice will like it?
She ought to. She got the only rug in town with a head on it.
This is Bill Foreman saying good health to all from Rexall.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.